Excellent. Okay, good morning, everybody. I call our meeting to order. We'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks. Welcome to our first meeting of 2011. To introduce the board, to my far right, Heidi Harris from Sawyer. To my immediate right, Mr. Bill Massey from Forestville. I'm Jeff Hales, chair from Eureka. To my left is David Noren from Sebastopol, vice chair. And on the far left, Mr. John Corbett from McKinleyville. We are a board of five now. Former board member Mike Dunker was not reappointed. This was just due to his eligibility for being a public elected official, and he was not reelected to the Riedel City Council, so he's no longer a member of our board, and we will miss him. It also puts us into some quorum issues, which we'll discuss in a few minutes, but right now I'd like to turn this over to Kat and have her introduce staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to start on the far side with Mr. Greg Nash on IT. Patty Corsi and Gene Lockett, our dynamic duo. As you know, Gene will be retiring in April, and Patty will be taking over for her for the board functions. To my far right is Mr. Rice, staff counsel, Mr. Luis Rivera, AEO, and myself, and we have a room full of staff who will introduce themselves as they come up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, moving along, our annual item of business is our officer elections. Turn to my board. And entertain a motion.
I'm sorry, I want to nominate Jeff Hales as chairman.
I would second that, Mr.
Are you there?
Oh, there we are. I would second that motion, Mr. Hills.
Great, thank you. All those approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great, thank you. Look forward to continuing.
And I would like to nominate David Noren as vice chair.
I would second that, Mr. Chair.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank Wonderful. You. We shall continue on in our current configuration. All right, ex parte communication disclosure. Do we have any pursuant to Government Code Section 11430.50? We never say that, so I wanted to give a reference to why we give our ex parte for those who are
curious. You just wanted to feel like an attorney.
I did, didn't I?
Mr. Chair, as I have frequently in my capacity as a board member and then working with community groups and elected officials, both county, state, and federal, dealing with West County sewers.
Thank you. I'd like to mention a few of myself. Met with Elk River landowner, Christy Wrigley. We had discussion, just some background information about her property and some of the effects that have happened to that over time. Just nothing new, but just some ongoing things. And she was just had some general questions and check-in about where things were moving in that direction, particularly with the TMDL. I met along with Vice Chair Noren and our EO, Ms. Coleman. We had lunch with Gary Reinierson from Green Diamond, talking about just some future direction that the company's taking and looking for industry-wide streamlining of their permitting process, and there's some encouragement there. And in addition, I have, along with, again, Vice Chair Noren, as well as our EO, Kat Coleman, have met with the City of Arcata and various stakeholders to talk about the process for their upcoming permit renewal.
And Mr. Chair, just to be transparent, I was right there with you and happy to do it. So I was both at Arcata and Mr. Ryan.
I am telling the truth.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, anyone else? Okay, move on along. Ms. Doduk, are you here? Good morning. You have a report for us.
I don't know.
You have newsworthy items from the State Board for us.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Happy New Year to you. And the reason I don't know is I was firmly instructed by Mr. Massey to only bring good news. And so I really, you know, had to think hard about what to report this morning. And then the answer came to me, and perhaps it's because, with all due respect to Mr. Corbett, I've been around attorneys so long that I realize any news that I present to you, depending on one's perspective, could be viewed as either good or bad. So I think I'm safe. Two regulatory-type items before I get to something that I think is on everyone's mind, and that is the budget. As you know, stormwater, and particularly our quite out-of-date, I guess you say, expired stormwater permits has been something that the State Board and State Board staff has been really focused on. We recently released the draft Caltrans MS4 permit, which is now out for review. By the end of this week, the draft general industrial stormwater permit should be out for review. And within another few weeks, the draft Phase 2 MS4 permits should be out for review. So those are the trio of stormwater permits that were amongst the board, State Board's highest priorities for this year. And I'm glad to let you know that they'll be out. We'll be taking comments, hearings, and workshops will be held. And it is anticipated that those items will be brought to the State Board for consideration by the end of the year or by early 2012, I guess I have to say now, depending, of course, on the feedback that we receive. I also wanted to let you know that the State Board staff also released a draft toxicity policy that's been received quite a bit of attention from a lot of folks. We held a board workshop, actually, and received quite a bit of comments and concerns. We also received, obviously, a lot of written comments as well. So there are concerns with respect to the methodology that staff has proposed, concerns with potential impacts on small communities, and concerns with enforcement implications of potential false positive results from this new testing approach. So all those things are being examined, being looked at. State Board staff is proposing at least, I believe, two technical type workshops coming up in the next few months to try to discuss and work out the details of that obviously very significant but also very complicated policy. So those two are the regulatory items I wanted to brief you on. With respect to the budget, as you know, Governor Brown has released his proposed budget for fiscal year 2011-2012 for the water boards. It represents a approximately 14% reduction in funding. The major part of that reduction is due to the one-time bond allocation that we received for this current fiscal year. There are some smaller general fund and fee-type reduction, but the significant portion of that, approximately $130 million or so reduction in funding, is from the bond program. We did have our first budget committee hearing yesterday. It was the assembly, and the Senate hearing is being done this morning. And I can report back to you that in the assembly side, there were some of the changes that were proposed as part of the budget, one of which also of a great deal of concern and interest to a lot of people is a proposed funding shift, a $12.8 million shift from general fund to fees, both from the wastewater discharge permit fund to the wastewater permit fund, as well as water rights fund. If you'll recall, this funding shift was proposed last year and several years before that. In previous year, at the end of the budget negotiations, general fund was found to fill that gap. And so at least last year anyway, we didn't have to fill that gap with fees. But that shift is on the table again, and that shift was approved in the Assembly Budget Subcommittee yesterday by a vote of 3-2. Also proposed in the governor's budget is a request for $1.6 million in general fund for the state to continue to defend ourselves against the litigation filed by Pacific Lumber. That was not approved yesterday by the Assembly Subcommittee. They held it open. They wanted to know more about the case. They wanted more background information. So it has not been rejected, but it has not been approved either. Also, I'm sure something that Mr. Noren will be very interested in, we also put in a request. If you remember last year, legislation was passed and signed by Governor Schwarzenegger to augment the underground storage tank fund. And we put in a budget change proposal so that we can have authority to expend those funds from July through December. And that item, interestingly enough, was not taken up by the Assembly Subcommittee at all yesterday. I believe, or at least I'm told, that their intention is to actually hold a hearing on the underground storage tank fund and our implementation of the fund, and perhaps more importantly, what we've done to implement the recommendations from the audit that was held last year. So the Pacific Lumber and the underground storage tank fund are the two remaining items that are still open for us on the Assembly side. And we'll know today, with respect to the Senate side, what their decisions might be.
Tam, can I just request that if, as that rolls forward, if that comes back up and that is in committee, is that right? Is that
in committee?
As that comes forward, can you just maybe inform through maybe Kat what happens with that and timing of that?
We will.
Can I also take a moment just to acknowledge that and thank you again? You've made space available for me to work on a cleanup fund, or not a cleanup fund, but a UST task force policymaking body. I want to thank you for that opportunity. I think it's very, very important. And just to inform our board and our staff that I see a lot of cleanup faces here today, there is a movement, and as you know, a changing world in cleanups right now, specifically underground tanks. It's evolving. The closure policy is something that is trying to be formulated amongst a group of stakeholders. It's subject to peer review, public comment. It's somewhat in its infancy. It's coming. It's actually working forward through a policy procedure. It is an evolving world in cleanups, and I acknowledge that, and you know that as staff. Excuse me. At the same time, the changes with the fund, I think, are really, really important. The fund, for the people that don't know the cleanup fund, is a gas tax funded mechanism. It's 2 cents for every gallon of gas goes into the cleanup fund, and they have expended since 1992 approximately about $200 million a year to clean up and fund investigation and cleanup of these sites. So in the changing world right now, also I realize that there's movement towards closure, and on some of these sites that we have had around for a long time, I look at our own organizational chart internally, and I realize, too, that we're working without a senior in cleanups. So Dave Evans has left us and moved on to, sounds like, Ecuador to work on other things and probably fun down there right now. At the same time, I realize that working without a senior, I see Casey Ashley and Joan Fleck here today, and I want to thank you for your ongoing efforts and all your staff for your ongoing efforts. It is changing world. I would commit to you that as this moves forward, I'd like to have further conversations about this, report back to you, and have, you know, some input from both the state board level and our staff. So thank you, Tam. Thanks for coming today and updating us on that. And thank you, our staff.
And let me just say thank you, David. David has been a tremendous help and tremendous voice on this really small informal group that's gotten together to try to work out some of the technical details to ensure that there would be a sound policy based on science, based on best practice that we've learned over the years, so that when this is brought to the state board for consideration, we would have the different perspectives of those that have been working in the field at different levels from different perspectives. Towards putting together hopefully a policy that makes a lot of sense in moving forward on a real practical level.
Thanks, Tam.
Mr. Chair. Excuse me. Thank you, Tam, particularly for keeping it absolutely positive. I'm delighted with that.
Advice of counsel, I'm in it.
I believe at the last meeting that we had in 2010, You listed a list of, I believe, six priority things that the state has, that the state staff has looked at. Not to hold your feet to the fire today, but in the future, could you give us, kind of tick those off where they're going, because they obviously have been, many of them have been around a long, long time.
Well, three of those were the stormwater items that I had already mentioned. Another one is the San Joaquin River activities that we're conducting in our water rights program. And just so quickly, you know, we did hold a two-day informational type workshop slash hearing at the beginning of the year. I think it was like the first week in January. So we are starting to look at San Joaquin River flows and salinity in terms of updating our water quality control plan. The fifth priority was the frost protection item. I believe, well, you probably know better than I what's happening with that, but the staff, statewide staff, is, you know, still working on draft regulations and is still proceeding with that item. And then the final priority, six out of six, I believe, is something else that I always hesitate to mention in Santa Rosa. But it's the septic regulations. Okay. The sky has not fallen on me. I actually said that word here in this room. As you know, we had, you know, a slightly interesting public meeting here on staff's last set of proposed septic regulations. And since those hearings, which obviously occurred not only in Santa Rosa, though that is the one that will forever stick out in my memory, the staff was directed to work with a small group of county environmental health directors and others to reframe, re-looked at the regulations and put it on a risk-based format, you know, for different tiers based on risk, you know, different, so, you know, move away from the one size of it all and approach things more on a risk-based basis. So, believe it or not, this is the one item where staff, actually you should believe it, staff has a great deal of difficulty in terms of even committing to a time frame. So yes, at the last board meeting, I publicly asked my executive director about this item, and I was promised a schedule by the end of this week. So I certainly will let you know as soon as we receive that information. But that would be the six priorities that I think I outlined to you.
Thank you. Keep it positive. Keep it.
Thank you.
I had one question. You laid out the process for the fee switch, but can you explain
the fee switch? Yes.
Yeah. Can you explain the substantive issue? For usually I follow them. For some reason, I'm just.
There is $12.8 million that we have in general fund to support core water quality regulatory activities as well as water rights activities. And the governor is proposing that instead of general fund, we collect fees.
I got you. Thank you.
To support those activities.
Of course.
Just as follow-up on Mr. Corbett's question, you may not know the answer. I should know the answer. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to ask you.
Thanks.
Of that, in that fund switch from general fund to WDR fund, are the timber activities included as part of that shift?
I would believe so, yes. Though it's not the largest portion of that general fund, it is a portion.
Great. Thanks, Tim. All right. I guess any one little newsworthy bit I can report on is that, at least for my fellow board members, Vice Chair Noren and I have met with Kat to work on a set of draft priorities for programs that we have been working on and things that we haven't been paying too much attention to, and have taken some evaluative steps to see where we may want to include in our more current list of priorities. And that's something that we, you know, it's in draft form, but it's going to be circulated around for you to see and input on as well. So getting that process in place. And also just more of another note is that we will have a WQCC this year, and it's going to be in the fall. The date's actually been set, but I don't remember what it is right now, so I'll have to get back to you on that. Anything else from any other board members? Okay, Kat, your report, or do you want to save that to the end?
I'd like to save it to the end, but a process item. I don't know if you have it on your list to cover, but I'm a bit anxious that I know there are two items that are going to come off the, both the McKinleyville and the Russian River items are going to come off the consent calendar. And so if people are here to speak about those items and still wish to speak, it will need to be done in public forum. So that's, and kept very general to process issues because we don't have a quorum that can hear those two issues.
Okay, can we move, well, can we move that to the end after we get through the consent calendar, if there still wants to be discussion on that as
well? Sure.
Okay, that's fine. Sure. Okay. Move on to our October meeting minutes. Mr. Corbett, did you have anything else to add for any reports out?
No.
Okay, let's move on to the